We are not worried because they know these issues that were being discussed here and presented is the issues they often do come across. But we also want to hear from them what is their action given this problem of particularly affecting abantwana abancinci being sexually assaulted, being murdered because they have been sexually assaulted, being left alone by mothers, houses burnt, children found in there, etc., the pain they go through, all these things. We would like to get from the Gender Commission, which is our Chapter 9, we are, as this portfolio committee, practicing that oversight as a social development, actually ensuring that this work of protecting children, this work of protecting the vulnerable, our elderly and women, is being done properly, and there is good coming out of that. It is not only done, but it is seen being done. So we want to get it from Gender Commission because we felt at this stage we needed every other partner of social development to be with social development today, including our provinces, where our people live, to tell us what's going on. If they have tools to do this work, if not, what is their suggestion? We want to be practical. We don't know, I want any history, any what. We want to be practical. What do you do with this scenario that is taking place in South Africa? When we can actually be seen like we are in Western India, all those things. You can see when you read about this social ills that we are not in a good shape as a country. So take us out of the panic, take us out of paranoia, and tell us that we are on track. This is not true. Thank you very much. The platform is yours. You will greet us, you will introduce your colleague and yourself, then you will go on. You've got less than 10 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, to the Honorable Members. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Lula Manare. I'm the chairperson of the Gender Commission. I'm with my CEO, Keketso Mayem. She's the CEO for the Gender Commission. Thank you very much for inviting us for this oversight work that we need to do with the Portfolio Committee. We appreciate it so much. And just also to add that we do have the different reports, everything that we are going to be talking about today, we have submitted to the women's portfolio where we report, Women in the Presidency, but we also lodge it with for other portfolio committees as well. Just wanted to appreciate that we have been actually been called to account. It's exciting when gender, women's question, gets a central stage in the issue of girls, because we are all committed to the sustainable development goals. I just wanted to start that we obviously, Chair, we don't have money. We are asking for more money as the Gender Commission. she did say to me that I must not ask for money. So I'm just trying to make a humor out of a serious situation. I've heard you, Chair, so passionately talking about the plight of our girls, and I just wanted to add our young boys as well are getting raped. What I also was hearing when we were talking was that we also apportion all the blame to women. Where are the mothers? Where are the mothers? And probably one question we should be asking, I think Western Cape asked it so also, where are the fathers of our children? And when a person says it's a societal issue, I get a bit depressed because a societal issue says that all of us are doing this to our children. And I feel that we're letting men to go scot-free. We are not mentioning them It's men who rape our children unapologetically. It's men who grab our young girls, rape them, abduct them, and traffic them with the help of women. But the harm, physical harm, is caused majority by males. And I think that one of the things that we need to talk about is how do we include men in the fight against gender-based violence. The reasons that we also hear about why children are being raped will be that the father will explain that I have paid so much for this woman and she is not giving me what I am supposed to do to get in the bedroom, and therefore this is why I take from the kids. She must feel the pain why she is doing this. And we have heard from different races in the country. I want to emphasize this, that people might think that GBV is only sitting with Africans, black in particular. That is not true. What is happening behind high walls with the other races is equally, if not sad. Because what we have seen with other races is that they actually take the children, they use against the woman, they give women antidepressants, they make them crazy, and they take everything from them, the women. And therefore, the high walls and these 4x4s that other races are driving is not a true reflection. They are not having it nice at all. And therefore, the Gender Commission also is calling for men to actually talk about gender equality. And what is it that we can do to address the problem that men think that gender equality is putting, is emasculating them, or is making them weak, and therefore they need to address it through the bodies of women and the bodies of young girls. The other thing that you have already said, Che, is the coordination. I'm glad that DSD is here. We have gone to DSD, we were asked what is it that we are doing. I just wanted to raise an issue that we have in our research also identified the fact that there is no coordination, collaboration, partnership with all the partners that are supposed to be fighting this. So from the police, DSD, the families and communities, the magistrates, and the judges. And this is what, as the commission, we have done. We have monitored police and we have given them our findings. With our police, there's a clear strategy. I think Western Cape was so succinct on trying to reflect. We do have a strategy. It's called the Victims Charter. The Victims Charter is very clear what police are supposed to be doing in the police stations. And our findings as a gender commission, the police stations are not doing what they are supposed to do. What we are calling and what we have called for police is for them to stop being mediators and social workers. There is crime, they must deal with the crime. And not say to the person who's there to report crime, go back to your family, try and call the elders, go and mediate. You are actually maybe the fault. What do you think? Go back to your family and try and resolve this. And then after 2 months or so, you can come back. And what we have discovered as the Gender Commission, just after the police have turned back this woman, there will be a death. And it will be the woman that came to the police to say, this is my problem, and the police have turned this woman away several times. Go. The elders can mediate, the family can mediate. Actually, maybe you should improve your husband. He only wants you to improve on this and that. And maybe if you can do that, things can be better. They get killed. We also have, as a country, maybe the Victims Charter, we also have, I'm just trying to run through for the time check. We've also went to the magistrates' courts. I'll tell you why we went to the magistrates. The Gender Commission monitors every quarter the police stations around the country. We go even to the magistrate and raise a matter with him if we feel that the case has been sitting. We had a case of 7 years and there were four different magistrates in that case. So we are allowed to talk to the magistrates and raise our concerns about the delays in justice and also where the perpetrator is, because you'll find that the perpetrator known is in the community, having fun, buying the police, taking the file, buying every value chain, and is free on bail when the person is not supposed to be out on bail. The other thing that I think maybe as the portfolio committee we should grapple with is whether children who are raped, who are under 14 years or 18 years, when they are raped, is it statutory rape or not? Because the country is clear there is something called statutory rape. But what we have found is that the defense can go and say into court mitigation, actually this 13-year-old was not a virgin. So the rape on its own seems to be that justified by the fact that this child, actually 13, was not really a virgin. So it should mitigate the minimum sentence. And we feel as the General Commission, and we have written to the Magistrates Commission, that at least our magistrates and our judges should be able to see the gender violence and hear and address it right there and then, because we were told as a gender commission by the magistrates commission that really the magistrate in that precinct, he is the authority or she is the authority, and therefore the gender commission must not try and influence the magistrates. But what we are saying is that if it's a societal issue and you are a magistrate, you are not in the sky, you are in the society. You understand patriarchy and the power relations. And therefore, sometimes when you are hearing the case, you might actually be gender blind and not see the issue of power relations, of unequal gender power relations, and might not want to address the issue as such. And we're just asking our judges and our magistrates to make findings, especially when a defense lawyer comes into court and says this child was actually not a virgin. Maybe one, I want to take you to where we were last December. A 14-year-old child walked 2 hours running away from a husband that is coming from Gauteng, December time in Itujwa. And there's something you raised, Chair, that what do you do? We arrived there, it was holiday, and we had no, the case is with the police, and we tracked down the police. And the police says, no, I have written this, but you know, the child was with the granny, so I listened more about the granny. And then somebody says, no, if it was a granny who was speaking more than the child, then really there is no offense here. The child must speak on her own what has happened. We waited there and we said, fine, you are going to take the statement with the child because we're coming from Joburg, we're not leaving. I want to say that DSD, they are there, but they also assisted by taking the child to a place of safety. Now, somebody says something about a family here. This family problem, it has its own origins. We can talk about it any other time because the origins of the family is also a contentious issue. The mother with the uncle, with the grandfather, agree on dowry for a 14-year-old child. There is a granny in a village that the abductors come and sit. The granny calls the child to that home. The abductors point, this is the child, but they unfortunately get the friend, and then they leave the friend, they run after the one that they want. They get her. The granny says, no, 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 it's that one. They leave and go to Mvezo. Mvezo, that is where this Gauteng guy is from, but he is from Mvezo. The child for 2 nights, I think, was abducted. They are waiting to break her. Now, breaking her is to force her to have sex so that the cows can be released. Because there's no one who's going to pay lobola until this child has been made a wife. When we get there, we go with an NGO called Kula. And this NGO says to us, there is a school here, Gender Commission, you must come back. There is a school where children in our country, I want to put the stats, Mama, 91,000 of our children are married at underage. The school, the children have a classroom there, they change the makoti clothes and wear the uniform, and then when they go home, they change the uniform and wear makoti and go back to the community. And it's happening here in South Africa, unabated. And when we chatted with the police, the only person who could help us, we had to phone our connections everywhere. The trade union, SAPU, Bob Crew, please find for us who is dealing with children who are abducted, because the police didn't know what to do further. And we called everyone from Eastern Cape, and we said we are not going. We found this person from Bob Crew, Mdingi. I apologize, I don't know who, what is. And then they said to us, we have several cases. This case is treated like trafficking case. So I think part of our presentation, we have a case on Jezile, just for the members to see what is it that we do as a Gender Commission on underage marriages. And that is one of the sketches that is happening. December holidays, children are being abducted. The corridor is Dutua towards KZN. Last week with the Women's Ministry, we went to a place, border Gauteng, KZN, Free State, where the community openly told us it happens during holidays. December, the children are abducted as early as 13 years old. They are married to older men. The other thing that I also wanted to raise was the whole coordination. Who is dealing with this case? Is it the Hawks? Is it the police station that is close where the child has gone to report the rape? Or the NPA must come to the police station? Because sometimes you find the NPA is sitting somewhere where it's not close to the police station. So the child and the family go and report at the police station, and then the sexual offenses institution that is taking all these cases, but it's not close to the community where the deed is happening. So the issue of coordination, Mama, I agree with you, as much as it's a societal issue, but I think that the coordination of the prevention of a harm against children in this country needs to be checked up. So we do know the resources, but we know that they are not working together as one unit. The Children's Court, Mama, works, we call it for Mamelodi. Children were kept by a church. We went to the Children's Court today. The case set later on today, and the children were given, the parents were given a court order. And the children, the 14-year-old, the pastor, prophet of that church, has identified the 14-year-old for a marriage. And the children's court was able to intervene there. So we just need, I think Western Cape, you nailed it so much when you were presenting. We need, Mama, a coordination. All these bodies must come in one place and report to the country what is it that they are doing, how are their actions, home affairs. We don't know whether the marriages are happening with home affairs officiating those marriages. Because the act is clear. If a child 16 is getting married, the home affairs official must be there to agree with the family of the child because it's underage. So there's nowhere where our Marriages Act or Customary Marriage Act speaks about 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old. But I want to say the world is also asking us, what are we saying about the 16-year-olds that we as a country say they can get married with an official from the Home Affairs agreeing to it? We have no stats at the moment, but we have asked for the stats. So there is weak coordination. I agree myself that you know, social development, the NPA, the magistrates. We did go to the Deputy Chief Justice to raise our issues on how they are also meting out their judgments, but also just to ask the Chief Justice, as much as it is important to raise issues of corruption, which is important, we are not safe in the country, and we are asking for the protection of our children to also be raised and be red flagged. We are asking for our judges to also put the stats for the country, because they do have the stats on corruption, they will tell us. But we want the Deputy Chief Justice or the Chief Justice to say to the country, these are the stats, this is how many people appear in front of us who have committed this. Per month, this is what we are doing. So we're linking it with the Gender Violence Month, the 16 days of activism. What we are asking for, we have asked for a Gender Violence Council. Anything that is coordinating, just like SANAC, so that all these bodies can account there, because we feel as a Gender Commission, monitoring, enforcement, disaggregation of information in the country, and just a strong action on the people that are not doing their work. SANAC maybe might be able to help, just like we have done, or just like we have done with HIV/AIDS on SANAC. Maybe we feel that the GBV Council can also try and bring everyone under one roof, and for us to deal with these cases. Last thing, ma'am, as I sit down, the shelters. We are also doing legal work on the shelters. We're calling the shelters to come in account, because they have been identified also lack of support, lack of funding, and the children that stay with the women that have been abused are not being safe there. So that is what we are doing. There are many interventions. We use our legal enforcement. We do subpoena people to appear in front of us. We do call on the magistrates. We work with the magistrates. We work with the judges. We also go to areas where we feel there are difficulties, but the coordination and funding is all over our reports. People are not doing what they are supposed to be doing with clear acts, legislation, and I must say, even the United Nations FIDO rapporteur has raised the issue that we have all the progressive laws, but it's the implementation that we are so lacking on. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Mama. I hope that we will be able to come back and call us from time to time and come and account. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the input. It's adding to the other inputs that have already been made by our Chapter 9 institutions, because we are a portfolio committee that is actually wanting to effectively implement the oversight, so that we can actually listen to those who do the same work with us, and then the department also. We want to strengthen the department to be able to champion what is in the Children's Act, because that's solely the reason why they exist, that they should be championing. Very much in your input, Chair, was the fact that we are dealing specifically today because we have actually witnessed justice actually sentencing people who actually have killed our children, have raped our children. Some are still there because they face that they have these many times, 100 times, are sexually abusing your stepchild. And this child is living in hell while we are seated here as parliamentarians. And we really feel sorry, and we are worried about why is this taking place? Why can't it be detected in time? Why can't it be prevented before it takes place? Yeah, so we want also to do our own introspection. Are we actually playing that role of oversight, preventing this to happen? But Free State has also come. I think we need a word from you. to say, are you, how much safe are our children in your hands there in the Free State?
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair, and honorable members of the committee, MECs who are here, colleagues and partners. I think some of the things that have already, been mentioned are also applicable in the Free State. We are also concerned about incidents of abuse of children and women in general. And I would also agree that this is a problem that does not need social development only. We need a multidisciplinary approach with all our partners in resolving this. Because when you look at some of the programs that a social development we implement, those awareness campaigns that are done, there are also not only the awareness campaigns, but where there are problems already, where we have to intervene with the therapeutic interventions. And I'm aware that the chairperson did mention that when you look at the fact that more and more cases are now being reported, that could show that maybe there are gaps in terms of some of the interventions that we are undertaking. But our approach is that, yes, there are all these problems that we are also picking. But on the other hand, where there are more people who are coming forward to report, could it also not be because more and more people are now aware of this sketch, and even the fact that they can, if you come forward, you can, if you report, you can get support. So we also, in our approach, are saying that we let's also try to get a balance and also encourage people to report more and more. And in some of the interventions that we have been undertaking in the Free State, we are working closely with Home Affairs, the Department of Education also, because I'm sure we are all aware that some of the incidents also happen at school. For instance, last year we did have an incident in the Free State where a girl was raped by boys, gang raped in a schoolyard. And that's where we work closely with the Department of Education. And even the SGB there, who were very active. And in some of the schools, what we noticed was that SGBs were very active. Like in this particular school, where there were problems with regard to the surroundings of the school, where there were taverns and some of these places which were not habitable, where they even raided, they assisted the police in raiding some of these places. So at the same time, while there are these incidents, but I think there are also interventions by the different partners. I do agree that we need more and more coordination, and also for us to look at where are the gaps. But the other thing that I would really like to say is that maybe we also need to do more and more research, because when you look at some of the in some of the communities, the patterns are also changing, and I think the continuous research is also needed in order for us to look at what could be changing with regard to the conditions in our different communities.
All right. Thank you very much for your input. There is a hand from Honorable Dudley, Honorable Kangile, Honorable Student, Mama Soleti, Honorable Father Merve, and this Lady, if you raise your hand, not yet, you are arriving. So those are the names I will take.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of, well, thank you first of all for a great presentation and everybody's input. It's been really very enlightening and encouraging. But the research that's been done and that was spoken about in terms of statutory rape being justified, what do you identify as being the thing that has to be done? For example, obviously some of our health laws that mean that children can have interventions without anybody knowing, just officials from 12 years old and things like that, because those are places where you would normally identify statutory rape. And at the moment, 12-year-olds can be brought in by their abusers to have abortions, for example, and there's no questions asked, nothing's being done. So so we need to know exactly where are we vulnerable in this area and what we have to do about it. So your research seems to be a good place for us to go with that. Maintenance issues, are you looking at things like that as well? Because obviously that's an abuse of women and children. And we don't seem to be getting to grips with that. The prevention, obviously we the money goes immediately to the crisis situations, and the prevention doesn't actually take on much of a focus. And I just remember way back in the beginning of my coming to Parliament being actually on an issue of water in Chile, and there they would have these means tests at the local, just to get your water, you fill out a means test, and then every road, every street had a social worker linked over that area. And they're there for the purpose of health, social development, water, sanitation, justice, safety and security, housing. So they're identifying vulnerable families and communities and already speaking about whether they need grants or whether there's a drug issue in the family or whatever. So the social workers for us has always been a social development responsibility, but it actually should be the responsibility of this entire huge cluster of departments that actually the money, the budget goes into these social workers who then actually man our communities and on a weekly basis are visiting these homes and identifying the problems. Talking with our awareness campaigns, talking just to this last presentation, obviously awareness campaigns about abuse, rape, kidnapping, etc., are we targeting the right audiences with those awareness campaigns? Are we focusing in terms of targeting? Is it vulnerable communities? Is it vulnerable families? Is it just an out there kind of thing? The schools was mentioned about what goes on in schools, but obviously schools should be another place where you can identify vulnerable families by the behavior of children, or things should come to light in schools. But we seem to, that doesn't seem to be a source of help for children. So those are just some of the things that come to mind, but it's really this whole idea of prevention, unless we totally focus on it, we're going to forever just be chasing the crisis and not doing the prevention.
In order to save our time, this question goes to Koni, the DDG, Social Development. She has prepared a I hope the handouts have been given to all members. She has a presentation, but it is going to be in the form of responding to us and to a certain extent conclusion as the way forward for us being here today. So she's working on that program. Don't think I just ignored. But she's busy actually collecting all questions so that when she will combine with her final a conclusion on the matter. Can I then give the next member? Mama Kanyile.
Thank you so much, Chairperson.
And we appreciate the great presentation that we have just received. And while she was busy with the presentation, mine is actually a comment. I wish to reiterate that all the departments need to look at how we can actually fight this, especially when she raised an issue that we need to try and bring men also to these gender violence issues. Because in most cases, we are not saying they are the only ones, but in most cases you find that most men are the root of all this gender violence that is happening across the country. And I only have one question. I saw there was a toll-free number that was displayed there on the screen not long ago. Is this a toll-free number only on the landline, or is a toll-free number applicable to your cell phone as well? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, it's unfortunate that I couldn't listen to other presentation. I was also interested in the presentation of the human rights, but then I missed it because I'm a student. I'm still learning. So, Chair, I think after my comments, some of my questions have been covered by Honorable Doug there at the back. Then I would also like you to excuse me again because the lecturer is calling us again back to the classroom. Chair, let me also welcome the presentation by the Gender Commission. Although we didn't get into details of the whole presentation, maybe perhaps, Chair, next time we must really try as Parliament that we give them space, perhaps, if we deal with all the Chapter 9 institutions that are relevant to what we are dealing with, we try to give them more time so that, because this matter is a matter that is very serious, that needs more attention, especially to us also as people who are leading those constituencies outside. Chair, let me first comment on the issue that the lady was presenting, which she was disputing that this matter is not a societal matter. I was also going to dispute what she was saying. It is a societal matter. Once it becomes a problem, it affects all of us. We say an issue is an issue, it's a societal issue, because it doesn't only affect the person who is a victim or who is not a victim, but it affects all of us. The scourge that we have in our country in terms of the children abuse, women abuse, and all those things, it is a societal matter, and it should be viewed that in that way. Once we say it's not, because it's not done by all of us, then we'll have a problem. Because now it means we'll move away. Those who are not doing it, those who are not affected, will then distance themselves from the problem. But this problem, it needs all of us as South Africans to get in and make sure that we fight it. In all the institutions that we are in, it doesn't matter whether you are in CGE, whether you are in SAP, but all those that are relevant, including citizens in the country, we have to make sure that we get involved. And those that do not have education, they be educated. Because, for example, when I was listening to their presentation is reacting to what is already happened. It doesn't give us to say, how do we then prevent this matter to happen? I think we need to start from there, because we are very reactionary as a country in dealing with the issues. We've got those good policies, we acknowledge you've got a constitution that is very good, we acknowledge that you've got policies that are there, but we always say the problem is implementation. Why is implementation a problem? Why we've got institutions that are supposed to implement? We've got institutions that are supposed to implement. What are the limitations? I think, Chair, we need to get to a point where those institutions that are tasked with the responsibility, they need to tell us, they need to introspect themselves first and say, these are the limitations that we are finding in that are preventing us in making sure that we implement the mandate that is given to us. Chair, the other issue is the issue, she spoke about coordination and collaboration from stakeholders. I mean, really, it's something that is, to us as parliamentarians, I don't know the word that I might use. It might be unparliamentary chair, you'll call me to order. It's very annoying to always, when we come as parliamentarians, we will find that institutions, they do not collaborate. One government institutions, institutions that are falling under one government, they do not collaborate with each other in terms of fighting whatever that is there at that time. Coordination, who is supposed to coordinate the matter? Who is supposed to coordinate all of them so that we know this person? This is Parliament, and Parliament has to be given an opportunity to know if Bongi is the one that is tasked with coordination and Bongi is not doing the work. Let's name and shame Bongi that you are the one who is supposed to coordinate all these other entities that I have to fight, for example, the matter that is on the table. Is it social development that is failing in this regard to coordinate all the relevant stakeholders in making sure that when they fight, balwa ngelizwi elinye, ayizunceda into yoba omnye alwe ngale ndlela nomnye alwe ngale ndlela, omnye usilwa zi silos, or the other one is fighting that call, the other one is fighting that call, yet the target is one. We've got one target here that we need to deal with it. But the problem on how we deal with it is a problem. So I would really want CGE to be open and tell us if the problem is for coordination, it's social development. Let's know that this is social development, because everybody in this country accounts to Parliament. I get from him to account of one in now. It's chapter 9, they account to Parliament. Departments account to Parliament. Parliament has got structures where if this one fails, Chairperson seated at a certain level, where she's going to raise that we've got a problem with this department, we can't move with this problem, because this one who is tasked with the coordination, he or she's not doing her work. I think we need to get to that stage that we need to know exactly where the problem is, especially on the issue of coordination. We cannot always come back and say the meeting was not coordinated because this department, because you know, Chairperson, we have how government functions. Sometimes entities, when they initiate things, you'll find that departments, because then they will not even listen to the entities. Understand, limitations that we as a portfolio committee are able to see that our bank has been standing for. Chair. Okay, mandime up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, mine goes around the statutory rape. I'm very concerned when I hear the judiciary system is failing us in that regard. I'd like to know from the Equality Commission, what are they doing towards that? Because what does your virginity have to do when you are raped? When you are raped, you are raped, and whether you're virgin or not, nobody's got a right to do that. Thank you.
Actual Gender Commission, when I give you that time specifically to respond, because it will be lost if we take it to some. I allow the students to go and write, because we want honorable members to be very much enlightened. Our matters are very serious. Comrade Lizette, and I'll come back to Mama Masa.
It's good to be a comrade today, Chair. Makes me happy. Yes. Thank you, Chair. Now, Chairperson, you know what? The Commission for Gender Equality will tell you I serve with them on the Department of Women in the Presidency. And they spend a lot of time, well, in fact, we often see them weekly. And as we sit here, they do very good work with the little money that they've got. But what really frustrates me, for example, as we sit here, there are moves afoot by Parliament to integrate or to amalgamate the Commission for Gender Equality into the Human Rights Commission, which means even the little work that they are doing with the little funds that they've got will be cancelled out. But my problem is, you know, for as long as I've been in this Parliament, since 2012, we talk about the issues of the rape of children and gender-based violence. And every year we identify the gaps, but it's almost like we talk about it and nothing happens. We lament the fact that our levels of gender-based violence are so high and that so many of our children are dying, you know, because of at the hands of even family members. But we come to Parliament and we talk about it. And what frustrates me is we know where the gaps are. The Commission for Gender Equality will tell you that when they engage, for example, the Department of Police on issues such as why do you send our grandmothers away when they come and report cases, the police Department of Police will not even engage them. They are disrespected when they write to the Minister of Women in the Presidency, when they even write to the Department of Social Development to ask about feedback, for example, in terms of the progress in terms of the integrated plan of action to drive gender-based or to fight gender-based violence. They're often ignored or they don't get a response. So my problem is we come to these venues, we come to these platforms, and we repeat the same platitudes, we talk about the same issues, we raise the same stats, but year after year, nothing changes. And nothing changes because the people in charge of the various departments that should be helping us in this fight are not doing their bit. Because yes, if you talk about a broken family, our families are broken, our society is broken, and yes, that is the starting point. But when that unit fails, it is where government must provide the interventions. And they are a good example to tell you that when they do want to go and seek solutions from the various departments, they are often ignored or they don't get the responses or the assistance. So I really think we will be talking about these issues even in the next parliament and in years to come. And we, you know, what frustrates me as well is we go to parliament each year to debate the 16 days of activism campaign. But I always want to ask myself, is there any year that we can come to Parliament and say, we've saved the life of one child, or we've saved the life of one woman? We can't. So really somewhere we've got to wake up and say what we are doing in terms of the fight against gender-based violence and to protect our children. Yes, our laws are beautiful, but are the people in power leading our various departments, do they wake up and say to themselves there's a crisis that is affecting our women and children? Because I feel that we come and we talk here, is it almost like we're not awake to the realities of what our communities are facing, and that we really need to step it up and make sure that the laws that are meant to protect us are implemented, and that organizations, the Commission for Gender Equality is a Chapter 9 institution. Many of the departments don't treat them as such. And so I think, you know, the problems are very clear. It's just that we come here, we talk about it, and nothing is done to help our children or our women, Chairperson. That's my input.
Mama Masa.
Thank you, Chair. I think I've just been covered the part of my question that was going to be making me give this as an example of how somewhere in government attempts have been made to even coordinate, because we're talking about the lack of coordination today. But one finds a situation where it looks like attempts have been made to coordinate, especially in this environment of violence against women and children. Because I seem to remember that there was a plan that was called the Plan of Action, that the coordination sits with the Department of Social Development. And that Plan of Action actually expired this year, in 2018. And questions, I seem to remember having even asking questions about what has happened to that plan of action, because the scourge is increasing, because more and more the perpetrators are becoming more and more creative in doing what they are doing. But there is a program that has been created by this government, and there is a responsible department that must be coordinating. Because we shouldn't be talking coordination today, because there is a department that has been made to be the coordinating aspect of this whole thing, and instead we are saying, and I agree totally with the fact that we need to start from the family, but I'm saying there needs to be some kind of responsibility that is taken, and even accountability that is taken by a department that has been put forward to actually coordinate this whole thing. Thank you, Chair.
At this point, I think we're directing these matters to the coordinator, which is the Department of Social Development. But, Ms. Connie, I can assure you that something has gone wrong. You know, we are complaining that we don't have social workers. We say social workers, probably because their profession has not been valued much, as well as teachers and so on. Some of them have become administrators, senior managers, SODs. You find that in a department, there's a lot of social workers. Because of the nature of the work, which is not that of Winnie Mandela's, of being an activist fighting for the rights of those who are suffering, they now are protectors. In the main, social development is about project of late. I think we need a gender commission to look into this weakness, where issues of profession can be reduced to issues of hunger and starvation. Yet here, we've separated issues. We've got a department of SMEs that must look into the cooperative and so on. We've also got many departments that are talking about business, empowerment of women, and so on. But specifically, what you will see when you make observation is that professionals are more active in the issues of economy. But that economy will never be sustainable as long as social issues are actually engulfing and are actually consuming our people. You know, when you talk about youth and school, the issue that is that you empower them, you employ them. No one is very much emphasizing lifelong education like the two honorable members who have left for their exams now. The issue is about how to get money, how to get a Mercedes Benz, how would we get a dormitory house? But others, somewhere in other countries, are actually worried about how safe are we from diseases? How safe are we environmentally? How do we sustain our environment? Everywhere in this country, it's about someone looking for a business. I think we need to instill this consciousness about who we are. We were not made of money, man. Till now we have always been proud of our environment, proud of our families, proud of our happiness at home, proud of bringing our children to be great leaders and great people. But this issue, you go to any department, social workers will be going out to understand that. I don't know why public works still exist, because they've moved a lot from public works. If it's about a center for mentally ill people, the department does it. If it's a school, Department of Education does it. So everyone wants to build. If it's a clinic, health does it. They are now going to build roads to their clinics. They've built the clinics till now. So the issue is, there is not much dedication to the actual profession. Removing it, more meetings that are popular, that are those of establishing infrastructure. We have been fighting with this department, social development, where actually you were putting the building as administration. And we asked why. Because the building itself, Tina, we are interested inside the building as social development, not the building itself, that we want to establish rehabilitation centers. We want to establish. But if someone must establish and we'll give them the plan, which will allow our flow, our safety, our everything, and then the profession inside, I think we must choose. And this portfolio committee can't be sleeping on duty.
We are still free from that. We just are out there to ensure that professionals do their professional work. No one can come and update us how that it is at a window level. You were not even supposed to be doing that. You were supposed to be working who is going to go in there. Have you actually budgeted for the staff? Have you budgeted for the beds? Have you actually orientated people around that? That's why these are not being opened. It's because we spend more time building them other than preparing for the youth. I therefore really, really would want a change. I think the minister acting DG will be informed that we still have at least 1 year ahead of us. We can still change. The issue of social workers, magazi imekule nto yokuqala kule nto ye-procurement. Magaziphume kule nto inemali, izongcolisa namagama azo. Magazihlale ku-professional work. It is a serious matter. The most meetings and workshops are about procurement. Ungabanga yakwa sasa, the issue is not about feeding our people. It's about tenders. It's about people wanting to know iye kubanile, ile food parcels awunikwanga. It's about catering. If we're going for a child protection week, people are going to be mad. Sitting meetings with business people, they go there and say, we organize the caterers, business people, business chamber. We're talking about how much will go to this service provider to an extent that the content is missing. The content is missing. I can tell you, where the issue, the budget that seems to be there is their accommodation, where they went, the meetings they held, in preparation, how many taxis will go there, who is catering for the taxis, how much will go to the buses, all those things. I think we have lost umkhono siwulahlile bantaba kwethu. Thina ngoku sifike esigqibeleni esithi, let social development be sober and do their work. They must choose. I just think it's true. And I'm comfortable to say it without fear that something is there that engulfed us. I'm not saying these tenders go to them. I won't be able to know that. Though I am immune, I won't be asked to say what or to withdraw. But what is important for me is their involvement is actually affecting their capacity to do the professional which they have internalized. And I think as this portfolio committee, we want to make a follow-up as to what happens to the professional body. It's social workers' professional body, the council. Is the council still looking after their conduct? Is the council still indeed monitoring the norms and standards in doing this work? Because if you have internalized something, I would never go past as a nurse somebody who's bleeding without trying and show that I stop the bleeding at least, because I know it's going to kill. But can they themselves really allow themselves to just move and allow a child to be actually, we went to deterrence. We went to deterrence in the Western Cape. A 12-year was said to be pregnant by a 40-year-old. Minister, our former minister, Ubacha, wanted to ensure that person is being arrested. I went there 4 times. I gave up because there was no support. No one was following what has been done. And I can point many cases where we had a case, but it was let loose. No, the family is not complying. The police are not arresting. It ends there. And thereafter, it's a forgotten history. But I can tell the members of parliament that they are not only members of parliament, they are women. They are activists. They are citizens in this country. They must fight their way. And together with the gender commission, Gender Commission to lead the way that this is where there is a stumbling block. Committee, we've given you power. You are a member of parliament. Come with us. We are going to show you the culprit. Then they will deal with the culprit. But without that knowledge, because we now must arrange our army, because we are being overpowered. I know for a fact, Chairperson of Gender Commission, the issues of Ukutwala and so on, I've fought them all on my way, And I've always succeeded where I took up a fight and I put somebody in jail. But what I want to talk about is this issue of women who are being butchered because they are thought to be witches. The other woman recently, your offices in these provinces are not working. We wanted a gender commission. I went to the media to say this woman was attacked last night. He overpowered the person with a gun, and the gun was with the woman. Tomorrow, when there was daylight, it was a traditional leader's duty who took this weapon and kept the weapon and said, no, you must pay a goat for attempting to shoot you. Do you think that woman, when that very weapon is still in the circulation, ipabuwe emamujani, panda andite yenzani koni commission, afabafazi tele more than 15 in one village, bebulawe mtu abayatagati. I ask your premier to actually have a commission of inquiry. What's wrong with these people who are being bewitched? Nothing has happened. This time of lamenting is gone. This time I'm going to give Ukoni to summarize. Take us this way. Sifunukwazi, uyiwaphi ka kusukwa apha? There is a, when you go to the minister's liaison person is here. The acting DG is here. We are not going to, Chief Director, we are not going to miss our words. Not anymore. Because our people are 100% unhappy, unsafe. There's evidence in court. There are cases going on. And women have given up. Except for never bantu bahambe court by only disaba mam. Because no one is going to transport them. Our campaigns against this matter are not there. Campaigns, even if umntwana wasemangosi udutyuliwe, we don't know where the case is. All these things we can't follow up, but we are a big army of people pretending to be looking after these people. Now I'm saying this meeting, I actually wanted it to sit because it is long overdue. Because we are not supposed to be sitting here because we are on recess. Members had to be actually paid for to be here today by Parliament. So this report must go to the Speaker, Secretary. You remember when we went to Eastern Cape and we had these gruesome killings of women over 100 years old, whatever years, 1986, when we actually were taken through by the police commissioner. And we presented the report in Parliament. We gave it to the Speaker to be specialized so that we can look into the killings of the elderly. They now have finished the elderly. They are going to the young, to the newborn. Let alone, maybe we are now deaf on the killing of the elderly because they are of witchcraft. They are now moving to the albinism, miti. They are using our children. How do you rape an 18-month-old, and then kill? And the mother had trusted you. I think we must do something. And I think Ukoni must take us through, because when we live here, we want the parliament to be preoccupied with the issue of ensuring that the committee is leading this. We're not going to miss this one. This is a campaign that we can take it to whatever level, whatever province. No one will be untouched with this one. I give you the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
And having listened to all the discussions and honorable members were raising pertinent issues, I think I need to first clarify the issue of coordination before I speak to the way forward. Yes, Chairperson, we are leading the children's sector. Yes, Chairperson, we are coordinating the victim empowerment program in the sector. The fact that we have come up with a POA that is expiring this year, it was by default in 2012 when Cabinet appointed an interministerial committee that was chaired by and is still chaired by the Minister of Social Development. One of the tasks of that committee was to establish root causes, because there were a lot of reports around issues of children who are being killed and women being killed and abused, as we see even now. And the IMC appointed a technical team, which I personally chair. We drove a process of drafting that program of action because Cabinet wanted a plan immediately to say, what is it that we're going to do as government? That's how the POA was given birth. It was a five-year plan, which is expiring this year. Because the IMC has not been disbanded, we are continuing at a technical level, and ad hocly the IMC meets also to look at the work that the technical team is doing, which I chair. Now, what we're currently doing in that space, we are reviewing that program of action. And our time frame is that within this financial year, we need to submit it back to Cabinet and say, this is the new plan. And honorable members will remember that DPME did a diagnostic review of the current POA and made specific recommendations to say, when you look at reviewing the plan, please look at this area of coordination, please look at this area of psychosocial support, please look at this area of resourcing, and all the issues that are raised today in this meeting are things that are packaged in that report and are taken care of as we amend or as we review the program of action. But for me, it's not only about the plan. It's also about how then do we implement the plan itself. Because the previous plan was not properly implemented. The plan was there. It was one of the best, but it was not implemented. I think we need to move beyond that to say, as we plan to move forward, to say we need to finalize the plan, bring all these stakeholders, including Chapter 9 institutions, at our final consolidate workshop that we're going to have before November to say, have we included everything that we think needs to be done in this country to protect our women and protect children? But not forgetting that we are beginning to bring, or in the plan itself, is deliberate in bringing men and boys to be part of the fight, because you cannot win gender-based violence or violence against women and children without including men and boys. But also, the plan deals with make a proposal on the coordination mechanism. When the diagnostic report was presented to Cabinet, fortunately I was also part of that session with the DPME, Cabinet directed the two ministers, Minister of Women and Minister of Social Development, to come up with a coordination mechanism that will work when this plan is finalized. This was brought about the fact that the issue of a gender-based violence council was raised at the meeting, and it was discussed how the council was formulated, its objectives, its resources, and all that. Then it was discussed to say, okay, let's forget about the council. We need a coordinating structure. If this coordination structure that you're going to bring, it's somehow, it's a council, but it's formulated differently. Let's see. Give us options so that as Cabinet you can approve. And that's what we're working on with Minister of Women and other stakeholders, the other departments and civil society organizations and other international institutions. So I'm saying this, Chairperson, because we need to make sure that the issue of coordination is discussed in context, including what this institutional or mechanism will be doing because they will need to rally around a particular strategic plan. Because even SANAC, I heard the chairperson making reference to SANAC. SANAC has got a five-year strategic plan every 5 years that guides how it's going to implement that plan. And the structures that are implementing, they do report at a particular interval to give progress as to how they're doing. So maybe that will also assist. But in that plan, I think what was coming out also clear was that the emphasis on prevention and promotion, should be non-negotiable. We need to make sure that all of us, we invest. We have to invest in prevention and promotion. And we cannot expect miracles if, as a country, we don't invest in prevention and promotion. We will forever intervene when something wrong has been done, wrong to a child. Now, the role of traditional leaders is very key, and the role of faith-based organizations. But most importantly, the voice of children themselves. Because in most cases, we do plans for children without them participating. Yes, women, we know because they are vocal, we consult them, we get them, but the children are not having a voice. So in this plan, we are saying, let's elevate the voice of children so that they can tell us what is it that they want to see happening in the plan itself. But along this plan, Chairperson, allow me to say there are other social issues that contribute to this violence against women. The issue of substance abuse, we underestimate it. It is a very, very powerful contributor to the issue of violence, and even the rape itself. Because when you look at these cases, it's either the stepfather was drunk because they want to do something. They go take some drugs and drink alcohol, and then they will be able to either abuse a woman or even rape a child. So we also need, parallel to this, deal with issues of substance abuse, but also the issue of income poverty and capability poverty, so that our people can be able to deal with their own situations. We need specialized skills in the police, in social development, in justice, to deal with these issues. Because if we don't have forensic social workers, for instance, there's no way we're gonna, now I'm talking about the response, because as much as we'll prevent, you will have those cases that you'll have to deal with. And I must also say, we are really saving lives for children and women, but it's a drop in the ocean. We cannot sit here and claim that we are not saved, otherwise the whole country will be dead by now. It's just that it's not enough. We can present statistics to say this child has been saved, this woman has been saved, but it's not enough because the reports are still saying to us, you're not doing enough, check your interventions. So I just wanted also to clarify that it's not like nothing is done. Something is being done because lives are being saved. Use of technology is very important. Whether we need to have chips or we have gadgets that will assist children and older persons in particular, it's something that we have to. I know that Vodacom also funded the sector for older persons to give them as panic buttons, those who are staying alone, to say, if you stay alone and you just hear any noise, you don't have to find out what is it about, press this thing, so that somebody can check who is moving around your premises. Because you're staying alone, you are powerless, you cannot fight anyone who's coming to you. So use of technology, even by social workers, even by anybody who is in the system, is very important. Because if we continuously use manual and want to verify things on our own, our social workers are even sometimes very scared to go to communities where it's very violent when there's a case they have to intervene. It's a truth, Honorable Chairperson, and it needs to be told, because police are not always there to accompany our social workers to your deep slopes. I'm just giving an example if there's a case, because also the roads are not so safe for them to go. But we need to create safe spaces to deliver services as a country, and safe spaces for our children to play. Because as a child, you have a right to play. But our safe parks or our parks are not safe for our children. When you look at a lot of cases that are even happening in the parks where they are supposed to play. So as I go to conclude, Honorable Chairperson, we need ongoing research. There was one honorable member or a colleague who said, their trends are changing, the way children are abused or killed. If you don't understand the problem, you will always intervene in a wrong way. So you need evidence to be able to have targeted interventions. So that's how I think we can move forward from here to address the issues that have been raised, and also to finally confirm it is a societal issue. It is a societal issue. And we need to strengthen families to be able to protect their members. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Maybe you are not yet off the hook, because Sifuna short term, immediate short term, but I will give you a break, because someone said they use something to help us re-energize before we finally listen to Usasa and othikhona lento ungekasigqibi kuyo sizowuthetha kuba kaloku thina into esiyifunayo sifuna iripoti eza kuthi siyi-portfolio committee ethi nilapha ngale nto inabantwana. Okwesibini, sifuna into eshoyo uba how do you respond kule ngoku iskedle ivelileyo. Siyazibona zonke ii-plans we were taken out of that route by we are overtaken by events. Asikwazi ukuhlala apha sithi asikayi kule mizi yabantwana basemthwalumi and others. Ne-portfolio committee izawuyeka umane ilinde iveki yoba kuthiwe sawunikwa i-oversight week. Kufuneka ngoku sijampe into the situation kusesesiphaya even singaziwa kusesesikhona other than basihlale sithi uzakwenza uzawu-aplayele i-oversight week ufuna ibhasi sikhwele kuzo namatikiti sithwale isuitcase, but now we must be in and out of parliament to fight our sketch. So can I invite you to something to just make our lives better? Ndininika nje 15 minutes for nizophanga xa nityayo pha sibuye sigqibezele. The question is specific about the response of Ifuna Ngumama uBev on issues how come Parliament can say you after all so ungekho wena.